everybody. Jason gave me a lot more time than what I need, probably, but that's all right. Early secure won't be bad if that's what happens. But it's been interesting today as I've, you know, I prepared this message, of course, before, and many of the thoughts and scripture that I will have tonight are already been repeated today. And what I've been thinking about is something that's been on my mind for the last few weeks. Actually, it's been going over in my mind, and I've been considering it, and I thought I'd share it with you tonight. So tonight is probably more of a little devotional type thing than it is any expository teaching or anything like that. And so I'd like you to open up to 1 John chapter 4. We read this morning, again, earlier, and Aaron, Brother Aaron brought this to our attention. 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to read the scripture because it has to do with the thought, the subject matter that I'm going to talk about. If that is the love of God. Okay, we're in 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 7 through the end of the chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we know and have believed the love that God hath towards us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God in whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. And the Lord will add his blessing, as he always does, to the reading of his word. So, a couple of Thursday nights ago, when I had the short little thought, we talked about, and I mentioned how that love is the very greatest motivating force in the human experience. And I believe this is really very true. We've seen it, experienced it in our lives, many of us, and I'll give you a couple of examples. I think of young children. Young children express this quite well, that is love, and are not inhibited to look into their mother or father's eyes and just say in their childlike way, Mommy or Daddy, I love you. It's very easy for them to do that. And how that must just melt our heart when that happens. And as parents, we press on in our goal to provide for those children, and we give of ourselves to that child or those children in spending our time and resources to provide a warm and healthy home and to nurture them in the things that they need as they grow up. A mom will work herself to the bone almost, total exhaustion, just to see a happy child and have that child say, thanks, Mom, or the same for a dad. He'll work all day, whether it's outside, inside, whether it's physically or mentally, he'll work because he wants to provide for his family and for his children. And all is done and motivated by this great motivating force of love. We do it out of love. We don't do it for necessarily money. If it was just money, well, you know what? No. We do it because we love them. And we appreciate, too, when they say things like, hey, Dad or Mom, I love you. That's very nice. I think of a young couple too. A young couple, they're just starting out in life, and as they get older, they start looking at the other partners, a life partner, and they find that special person. And then when they do, you know, about the only thing they can talk about is the nice things about that person, you know, and all the ways that they can love them and show to that person how that they do love them and give their concern and their care for each other. Now, last Monday, we celebrated Veterans Day. And we've heard a lot of stories. We've heard a number of accounts at different times in the paper, in the radio, TV, whatever, or just from mouth to mouth. Read about instances where a soldier would give his life for his friends. You know, he'd cast himself on a grenade or whatever, save others. Why? Because he loved them, perhaps. I would think it's done out of love. I can't imagine it being done just because I want to die. You know, I don't think that's what they're thinking about at all. They care about their friend. They love them. And you know, the scriptures talk about that, and Matt quoted it in his prayer just tonight as we prayed together. It says in John 15:13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." And we've seen that happen in just general things. A man laying down his life for his friends. Of course, the Lord Jesus laid down his life for us, for you and for me. And then he calls us, later on, he calls us friends in that passage. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend." And then I think of the love that we have between a husband and a wife. This is the grand relationship that God has instituted. He's ordained and he's blessed as he created us to live and procreate on this earth, which is also his creation. And what a wonderful thing God has given us to be able to live here and appreciate the things that are around us. Sometimes we get caught up with life and we don't even think about the drive to work or whatever and the beautiful things that are all around us because we're concentrated, we're focused on whatever's ahead of us, and we miss the benefit and the blessings of appreciating God's creation. And anyhow, this love between the man and the husband and the wife is something that God ordained and planned. And it's the kind of love that says, "I will love, I'll respect, I'll honor, protect, provide for you and you alone." And that's where a lot of people get in trouble, don't they? Because they get looking away from their marriage vows and everything like that to other things. But I'll love, respect, honor, protect, provide for you and you alone for as long as we both shall live. And this kind of love is a conscious decision, and it's a lifelong commitment to each other, to love each other. Love is a great motivating force. And, you know, it's not a mushy-gushy thing. It's a commitment. It's a decision that you love that person no matter what, and no matter what comes along. And God's used this relationship of husband and wife to help us understand the relationship between God and his church. He tells us as husbands to love our wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And so we have that relationship that is husband and wife. And God has used it as an example of his love for his church. That is, every believer. Not just this little group of believers here tonight, but believers throughout the whole country, the whole land, the world. All believers that know him as personal Savior form that church. And I'm not telling you anything new that you don't know, but sometimes we get caught up in our own little thing. But he loved the church so much, and he gave himself for it. But then as I think of this love relationship between God and man, and we sang it tonight, I stand all amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. And then the hymn writer, who is Charles Gibral, breaks out and he says, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I stand amazed in the presence, a sinner, condemned, unclean. It was in the Garden of Eden that sin was introduced into the world. And because of that, we've all inherited that sin nature. And because of that, the Spirit of God even confirms it by stating it, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We read that in Romans. And further states that the payment or condemnation for sins, we're a sinner, we're condemned, is death, again in Romans. And then we're unclean. And we don't have to search far into our innermost being to agree with God that our heart is, as it says in Jeremiah 17:9, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then in the next verse, or in the same end of that verse, it says, who can know it? But in the next verse, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. You know, God knows our heart. He knows what's inside. We may be able to hide it from one another, but he understands our heart and he sees it. And so we're not hiding anything from God. I, the Lord, search the heart. A sinner, condemned, unclean? Yes. Definitely yes. That's what I am. A sinner, I'm condemned, and I'm unclean. But praise be to God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And again, Romans tells us about that. And we just say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your salvation. For God so loved that he gave. And we know that verse very well. Aren't you glad that God loves you? And that his love is eternal, never ends, it's secure. His love is everlasting. The prophet Jeremiah puts it this way. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Wait a minute. He puts it this way. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's the point. An everlasting love. Therefore, with kindness have I drawn thee. And we're so thankful tonight, each one of us who know Christ as Savior, that there came a point in our lives when we recognized the Spirit of God wooing us, as it were, drawing us to himself, and we received him as our Savior. Because without that Spirit of God working in our lives, bringing us to himself, we never could come. Because it's all of God, even to the point of drawing us to himself. Praise God for his Spirit that worked in my life, that worked in your life if you're a believer. Because of this, I can say with assurance, I am his. I belong to Jesus, you know. I am his. And that's a great thing. That's the thought that's been ringing through my mind the last few weeks. I'm the Lord's. I belong to him. And listen to Jesus' words in John 10:27-30. And all these verses are wonderful verses. We've known them, probably even known them by heart, but anyhow. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So we're in his hand, we're in the Father's hand. And no man can pluck us out of that position that we have in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful blessing that is. In Isaiah 49:16, he says this. He says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. We think of the palms of the hands, and we think about the nails that pierced them as the Lord Jesus suffered on the cross and took that penalty for us. And we're very thankful for that. And we sing that song, I shall know him, I shall know him. As redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hands. But in his hands, our names are graven, it says. We belong to Jesus. I am his. And if you're a believer tonight, you can confidently say that. I am the Lord. And I'm really going through my notes real quick. So maybe somebody else has another sermon they want to preach after this. But anyhow, here we go. Another great thing. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the last part says, I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. What a blessing. What a wonderful thing to think that God will never leave us, or will he forsake us? Now, we have earthly friends, we have family sometimes that even leave us or forsake us. But God says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And so when we're down in the dumps or whatever it is, and we're kind of having a pity party or whatever, and we think we're the only ones around, whatever. No, God is with us. And he'll said he'd never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And we can rest in that and be thankful for it. And to top it all off, he wants me, he wants you to be with him. John 14, 1 through 3, and Andy had this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, and you know what? Troubled. And some of us have troubled hearts. Lots of things trouble it because, you know, as mentioned this morning, it could be health issues, it could be monetary issues, family issues. It's a big thing. But the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You know what? He wants us to be there. There's many mansions that he's preparing for us. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Remember in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11? The disciples were gathering together, and the Lord Jesus was taken up from them. You know, he's taken up into heaven. And there they were, gazing up into heaven. And the angel said, ye men of Galilee, why are you doing this? He says, this same Jesus, you know. It's the same Jesus that came, walked this earth for how many ever years? 33 or something like that. But we're most familiar with the last probably 3 years of his ministry, where he turned the water into wine. He took and healed the blind men, gave sight to the blind. The woman that came and brought to him in adultery, he went through all those things. This is the same Jesus that did this, you know. Sometimes we think maybe we get that separated somehow or another. But no, this is the same Jesus that's going to come again. And he wants me, he wants you to be with him. And he's gone to prepare that place for us. And we're so thankful for that. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we're told that we are chosen. That's a wonderful thing, to be chosen. And I think I might have used this illustration before, but as kids, you know, you'd be at the sandlot baseball or something, and we're choosing up teams, you know, and somebody wants you, you know. It's great to be chosen, you know, to be on your team. It's a wonderful thing, yeah, to be chosen. Mm-hmm. And then adopted. Well, that's for somebody that was an orphan. To be adopted, that's got to be a wonderful thing. We have an adoption in the Michener family there. Recently, and I'm sure they're blessed, and that child will grow up to be in that family, and blessed by that, he was adopted. Well, that's us. We're chosen, we're adopted, and then we're accepted. You know, you could be chosen, you could be adopted, but you could not be accepted. But we are accepted. God has accepted us because of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then we have an inheritance. Some of us aren't going to have much of any earthly inheritance because, well, in my case, my parents are gone. But in your case, if you're my kids, you're not going to get much of an inheritance. Sorry about that. But anyhow, we have an inheritance, not an earthly inheritance. We have a heavenly inheritance. And you know what? We've been sealed. It's like I'm in his hand. I am his for time and eternity. And what a wonderful reality. And because I am his, I have this blessed hope found in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57. Let's turn and read that. It's a wonderful thing, wonderful passage. It talks about the second coming of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. Many would know this by heart even. But we'll read it together. 51. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I am his for time and eternity. What a reality. And we can say this and know it, that I am his, but then he is mine. Okay? Wonderful thing. That's what I've been thinking about these last 3 weeks. I am his, and he is mine. What a blessed thought. He is mine. As young children, as we referred to them earlier, we love to lay claim on the fact that as our parents, you know, if you're in a situation or whatever, you'd say, oh, that's my dad over there. That's my dad, you know. Or that's my mom. She's the one that made those cookies or whatever. You know, it's personal. That's my mom. That's my dad. Now, as young couples, we love to tell each other about this one that we found, that we love, you know. We just want to tell everybody about it because we love them so. And because they're so special to us. And as a married couple, we love to tell others about my husband or my wife. We like to kind of like brag on them a little bit. That's my wife did that. Or, oh, that's my husband who did that. You know, we do that as human beings. That's okay. I think that's good. You know, we love because we love them. And we want to show others our appreciation of them. So what a privilege we have to say that that's my Savior as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think of our Father, that's my God. It's mine. I am his, and he is mine. And it's all because of God's great grace, his love, and his mercy for us, for he made us who we are, beings capable of loving one another, capable of loving God. And that's what he wants out of us, isn't it? In the Garden of Eden, sin came in, and that fellowship that was there with Adam and Eve as they walked in the cool of the day, that was broken. But that's what he wants. He wants fellowship with us. He wants that love restored. And he appreciates, I think, when we come to him and call him my Father, our Father, my Savior, my God, and have that love and appreciation for him. I know that, as I said, it's because of God's great love, his grace, and his mercy. We think of God's grace, things that have been given to us that we don't deserve. We think of God's mercy, things that have been kept from us, even though we deserve it, and his love. And so we're admonished to love one another as believers, and we're admonished, and God wants us to love him and appreciate the fact that I am his and he is mine. So, as I said, we're going to close a little early, and that's okay. Sometimes we close late by 20 minutes. This time we're going to close early by 20 minutes, maybe. Turn in your hymnal to number 66. Now, we're not going to sing this together, but as I've done in the past, I brought my little music box with me. And this is a hymn that I really appreciate, and I think you will also, as we listen to it tonight. As we close this service. Let's see if I can get this right. There we go. Okay, let's try this again. Radio Bible class music. Very nice. Father, thank you for the fact that each one here who knows you as Savior can say, I am His and you are mine. And so bless us this week. Help us in our day-to-day life to appreciate this more and more of your love, and then help us to love one another as you loved us. And we're thankful, Lord Jesus, that you loved us, and we love you because you first loved us. Bless us and part us with your blessing, we ask. Amen. Meeting is dismissed.